Well, hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode 124. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. You may have noticed that today's episode is a little longer than normal, but it is wonderful and worth it, I promise you. I am very excited to be speaking with Alicia Cohen today. And Alicia is a productivity expert specializing in prioritization and time management. And before I tell you more about Alicia, I just have a quick announcement to check out the show notes today because I am participating in a conference, I Am Mom. It goes from May 13th to 15th. And it is for Christian moms that want to learn how to live more productively, purposefully, and peacefully in your calling of motherhood. So make sure you check out the show notes today all about that. Now, back to Alicia. Alicia built her business, Alicia Cohen Designs, based on her own journey of overcoming her overwhelmed and frazzled life, what she calls the hamster wheel marathon, and now teaches others the methods that she discovered and uses personally. And with Alicia's support, busy people learn intentional planning, effective productivity, and high impact mindset shifts that enable them to transform from constantly feeling behind to designing lives that work and feel good. And Alicia is based in the U.S., where she lives with her husband and children. She loves homeschooling and marvels at how blessed she is. And we are covering a pretty big topic today, ADHD, the rise of ADHD in women, figuring out what ADHD is, what it isn't, and also some tips for focused activities, planning, things that are sometimes more difficult when you have ADHD. And many of you in my community that have joined the free Facebook group at tinyurl.com/momsovercomingoverwhelm have told me that you struggle with ADHD and it impacts your ability to focus on things like decluttering. So Alicia and I have a really in-depth conversation, which is why it is a little bit longer today, but I know that you are going to love it and all the wisdom that she shares. So what do you say? Grab that notebook and pen because you're going to need it today and let's dive in to today's conversation with Alicia Cohen. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hey, Alicia. Thank you so much for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am really excited to talk to you today.
Hey, Emily. Thanks so much for having me here. I am also really excited to talk to you today. I am like really jazzed to dig into this topic.
Yeah. And so you and I connected because you have these awesome giveaways that I have been a part of. And I just really appreciate you as a fellow business owner and then also a mom and a very organized mom.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. I've had so much fun getting to know you and I'm so excited to be on your show and I've had fun collaborating with you. So this is just kind of like the next step in our kind of business friendship journey, I feel like.
Yeah. And so I introduced you already, and I know that you are a productivity expert for moms and you spend your time doing that and momming and also homeschooling.
Yeah.
And I was just curious, when you're not doing all of those amazing things, if you ever have any free time, how do you like to spend any free time you might have?
Yeah. You know, so there's not a whole lot of free time, if I'm honest, but one thing that I do like to do, I like to do jigsaw puzzles. Mm-hmm. I find them fun. I find them relaxing. And so when I can, I do like to pull out a puzzle. And the interesting thing is, because I have little ones, I've also had to get really creative about how I store them, because you can't just leave the puzzle out all the time, right? It's going to get demolished. So I have this special puzzle mat, and I can roll it up and put it away. And then, yeah, and then it pretty much stays together more or less. And then I can unroll it and then resume. So yeah, so I guess that's my kind of like fun fact, free time thing that I like to do is working
Ooh.
on jigsaw puzzles when I can. Yeah, when I can.
Yeah, we are doing one, our first 1,000-piece one as a family, and it's
Oh, nice.
Lego minifigures. It's just minifigure heads, and that's it. And
Oh, wow.
it is a lot.
That sounds challenging. It sounds very repetitive in the picture, so
Yes.
that would be really challenging. Oh, man.
But I'm trying to see it as an opportunity to, spend some time with the boys in kind of a different way than we're used to. So yeah, but I'll have to look into one of those puzzle mats because we definitely
Well, I mean, and if your kids will just leave it alone, then that's cool. But in my household, they're not going to just leave it alone. And who wants to do a puzzle where you're on the last piece and you're like, wait, where's the last piece? Where's the 1,000th piece? Like, where did it go? So in my household, we've got to kind of like keep it put away if we want to preserve the integrity of the puzzle.
Gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes, definitely. Well, I know that you and I were kind of talking about how in our communities, I have a Facebook group, which is now 500 moms strong, which is pretty interesting. And I have noticed this trend when they're joining the group that so many of them are mentioning that they have ADHD and that is impacting their ability to focus when it comes to decluttering an organization and all of these types of things. And with you as a productivity expert for moms, I was like, I'm wondering if other people are noticing this as well. So I'm so excited to chat about this topic with you today because it does seem that ADHD is being more like openly discussed among women and especially moms. And I was just curious, this is going to be kind of a meaty conversation for both of us, but just I don't know much about how to help these mamas just because I don't have a lot of knowledge. And I wanted to bring you on so we could talk about, what ADHD is and what it isn't and why it might be on the rise, with adult women. So we're just going to dive in and you just go for it. And I might offer some thoughts or ahas as we go along. But I would love to just kind of talk about this because I feel like it impacts so many moms out there and it's hard to know where to start looking for solutions. So I'm just going to let you go for it, Alicia.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to dive in. So yeah, let's just get going, 'cause these are great questions and they're important questions. So here we go, everybody. Buckle up. So first, before I start dropping the knowledge, I gotta say a few obligatory things, right? So first of all, I'm not a doctor. And even if I was, I'm not your doctor. And this is not medical treatment. This is not medical advice. So please be sure that you seek out your doctor or trusted healthcare professional for discussing ADHD if that is something that you are concerned about. Next, I am, however, a licensed and certified speech language pathologist, but I am not your speech language pathologist. And this is not speech language therapy here. But I mention this because, given that I'm a speech language pathologist, I have worked with people with ADHD and I have studied a little bit about ADHD. So I feel like I know more about this topic than the average person. And then one more thing, one more disclaimer I want to mention up front here is that I don't actually have ADHD myself. So I just wanted to be clear about that. And this being said, I still feel that I have a lot to offer people who have ADHD, but I did want to be clear that I don't have that myself. Okay. So now that I've said my disclaimers, let's get going. So first, what is ADHD? So it stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And just a quick factoid for everybody out there, you might sometimes hear people say ADD, and then sometimes you hear people say ADHD, and you're like, wait, why are they calling it ADD sometimes and why ADHD sometimes? So ADD is an old term that's not used anymore. We use ADHD now. So they changed it. I don't know how long ago at this point, but just that's a little bit of knowledge for everybody to know out there. So now, ADHD What is it? I want to give you a slightly condensed definition from the National Institute of Mental Health. I like their definition. So they define ADHD as an ongoing pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity impulsivity that interferes with functioning and includes the following types of symptoms. So one, inattention, which, you know, means a person may have difficulty staying on task, sustaining focus, staying organized, that kind of thing. Two, hyperactivity. So that means a person may seem to move about constantly, including in situations where it's not really appropriate, or that they excessively fidget or tap or talk. And especially, you know, in adults, which that's the audience we're talking about here, hyperactivity may mean extreme restlessness or talking too much. And then the third piece, impulsivity, means a person may act without thinking or have difficulty with self-control. Impulsivity could also include a desire for immediate rewards or the inability to delay gratification, and an impulsive person may interrupt others or make important decisions without considering long-term consequences, okay? So ADHD, ongoing pattern, and it's impacting function, and it's got inattention, hyperactivity, impulsivity. But with that, there are these three major symptoms. There are then three types of ADHD. There's the inattentive type, there's the hyperactive impulsive type, and then there's also a combined type. And again, with this though, because I feel like some people are like, oh, well, that kind of sounds like me. Okay. So don't get ahead of you. If you're listening to this and you're not sure whether or not you have ADHD, you could have ADHD, or you could also just be a normal person who has difficulties with some of these things, right? So there's this important piece of that there's a pattern over a long period of time. There's a certain degree of severity, and it's impacting your ability to function. It's not just kind of this flippant, like, oh yeah, sometimes I lose my keys. Well, sure, losing your keys could be a part of ADHD, but it also could not, right? So we want to just be mindful of this. And this is important because, as I'm saying here, when we're talking about ADHD, we're oftentimes talking about these skills of executive function that are impacted. So executive function, referring to these higher level thinking skills like planning, organizing, time management, and so forth. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses when it comes to executive functioning skills, right? That's just normal. Some people are stronger at it. Some people are not as strong at it. And everyone is also impacted in our day-to-day with our ability to be attentive and so forth based on, well, how much sleep did you get? What's your stress level? What else is going on in your life? Your hormones, right? Lots of things can be impacting these things that are related, you know, that are part of ADHD, but doesn't necessarily mean that you yourself have ADHD, because it's normal. We see these fluctuations. We see these strengths and weaknesses with skills. So I just want to make sure that, like, yeah, you might have ADHD, but you also might not, right? Everyone doesn't have ADHD. Some people do, some people don't. So we want to be careful not to overgeneralize and say that we all have ADHD, especially right now, as we're saying, it's like, wow, like suddenly everyone seems like they have ADHD, right? Well, not everyone doesn't have ADHD, right? But we all do have a fluctuation and in our how it looks day to day, just anyone, a neurotypical person is the proper terminology. A neurotypical person might just have these fluctuations anyway, right? So we just want to be mindful of this. And if you're not sure, again, talk to your doctor or other trusted healthcare professional to get support with this. One final thing with talking about what ADHD is that I think is really important to talk about is when we're defining ADHD, there is a high occurrence in people who have ADHD that they also have some sort of mental health issue that goes along with it, like depression or anxiety, most notably. So these can be co-occurring just because, but also think about when we're talking about ADHD, right? And if you're inattentive or you're hyperactive, you're impulsive, whatever the case is for you, whatever type you have, well, maybe this impacts how you're able to get things done or not get things done, right? And then along with that, well, maybe that causes anxious feelings because you can't do what it is you want to do. And maybe that impacts your self-confidence because you're not being how you want to be in the world. And so then from the ADHD symptoms, well, now you're having these depressive symptoms or these anxious symptoms. So it's important to make sure that you're on the lookout for mental health stuff when we're talking about ADHD. So that's what I've got for what it is. Before I move on to what it isn't, anything from you, Emily, that you wanted to jump in on? Or do you want me to just keep on going? Because I will. I'll just keep on going.
I do have just one thought, I guess, is that I feel like because it's more prevalent, like we're hearing about it a lot more with kids also, that it's common for women and sometimes moms to kind of more flippantly say like, oh, I'm always forgetting things. You know, I'm just really ADHD, like just kind of like, you know, using it kind of flippantly.
Yes.
Also because it's so easy to be distracted in our culture and our attention spans are all decreasing because of, you know, variety of things, but it's easy to think like, oh, wow. Yeah. I have a hard time focusing, but part of that might be just kind of like the culture in which we live and not because we necessarily have ADHD. So I think what you said is really important that it needs to be this sustained pattern and it's not something that it's just like if we have a hard time focusing or finding our keys that it's like, oh, I'm ADHD, you know?
Yes.
So I've been really careful myself to not kind of just throw the term around.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's great that it's being diagnosed more, but it needs to be meeting all of these criteria, like you said.
Yes.
So I appreciate you going into it in that depth.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad you brought this up because this was something that I kind of wanted to talk about anyway, but I was like, I don't know if we have time, but since you brought it up, I'm going to just touch on it a little bit. Because in the same way, you know, you hear people sometimes say, oh, I'm so OCD. Right. Oh, I'm so OCD. Well, when they're saying that, maybe they mean, oh, you know, like I'm kind of like icky about germs or I like things a certain way. I'm organized in a certain way. Right. But there are people out there who legitimately have OCD. And just because you like things a certain way and you're particular doesn't mean that you have obsessive compulsive disorder. And so in the same way, oh, just because you lost your keys or just because sometimes you lose focus or what have you, doesn't mean that you have ADHD. And so there are people with ADHD and it really impacts their lives. And there are struggles with that and skills that need to be learned with that and adjustments that need to be made. Same thing in managing OCD. And so I think what you've brought up is really important for being sensitive in this topic that no, we don't just all have OCD. No, we don't just all have ADHD. We're not just like, oh, I'm just a little bit ADHD. Like, can like pick a different term that's perhaps a bit more sensitive to the people who do actually have ADHD and are actually struggling with it. Same thing with OCD, right? Like it's, yeah, I think it's important to be mindful of that, just how you're saying. So I'm so glad you brought that up because I think it is something that almost becomes trendy to say because it is being talked about so much now. And it becomes this sort of, I don't know, what's it, like almost slang, right? It becomes like a kind of very informal, well, yeah, a buzzword. And we just kind of use it without thinking, but that doesn't mean that using it in that way is actually being respectful to the people who actually have, you know, either ADHD or OCD or whatever we're talking about. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for saying that.
Well, let's dive into what we know what it is now and what is it not?
Okay. So I might get a little preachy because I'm like ADHD. You know, people with ADHD out there, like, hear me now. I want you to hear these things. You are not lazy. ADHD is not laziness. Right? And this is where I'm like, it's time for the soapbox. Alicia's going to preach. So here we go. It does not mean that you're not trying hard enough. It does not mean that. And essentially anything that anyone has ever told you about yourself that hurts you and that isn't serving you. They made fun of you or any of that. And you internalize that. That is not ADHD. It's not that. So whatever hurtful things people told you, maybe teachers, maybe classmates, family members, whomever, whatever they told you and you believed them, that maybe ADHD makes you bad or broken or wrong or less than, that's garbage. That's garbage. And what do we do with garbage? We throw it out. Okay? You are good. You are worthwhile. And you are not broken. And I bring this up because these hurtful things, often from childhood, but also sometimes from adulthood, they stay with us and they get in the way. And so for the topic of productivity in the context of ADHD that we're getting into here, right, as part of what we're talking about, if you're replaying old tapes in your head, old records, old thoughts of these hurtful things in your mind that you internalized earlier in life, not serving you, and it's going to get in the way of being able to make solid choices in the present. And so I think it's important to put this out there because there's some self-awareness work that's helpful to be done as part of this ADHD learning and growth and journey and awareness, you know, all of this. And so I just, when I was reflecting on what ADHD isn't, I just felt like I needed to just like give everybody a hug about this, like that you're not lazy. It's not that you're not trying, right? So just hear me. You are good. You are worthwhile and you are not broken. You are not broken. Even if you have ADHD, no matter what people told you, they were wrong, right? So hear me in that, please. If you take nothing else away from this episode, if you can hear that and then move forward from that place, that would make my heart happy.
Yeah. I think that it's so easy to label ourselves because of what we might've been told, you know, as a child. And I was actually listening to the Clutterbug podcast with her name is Cass. And she was talking about how she didn't realize it growing up that she had ADHD, and she had teachers, you know, this was like in the 80s, and they would like have her desk be the only one in the hallway because she was being disruptive. Now she's this organization decluttering expert, you know, which is really interesting. But there's so many women that have joined my community that are like, I'm just not an organized person. And I'm sure you hear the same thing. I'm just not a focused person. It's just not in my DNA. And you kind of wonder like how much of that is just stories that we've been told by other people. And so we just kind of believe it. And we think that, you know, some of these things are outside of our grasp because we're just not made that way, you know, or wired that way. And then being a productive, organized mom is valued in our culture. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's a valued. So then if it's like, well, I'm not that, then that means I'm less than, that means I'm not enough. And then how many of us moms, even if we don't have ADHD or anything like that, that we're always telling ourselves that we're not good enough and we're less than.
Right.
Thank you so much for reminding these listeners. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not broken.
Yeah. You know, that's really important what you're saying there. And what I want to piggyback on that about is that people think, oh, you know, I'm not organized. I'm so sloppy, blah, 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 you know, whatever. I'm not good enough. No. These skills that we're talking about, organization, productivity, all these sorts of things, they're learnable skills. So this is really important because it's not like you got it or you don't. You're not born that way or you're not, right? I mean, yeah, sure. Are some people born more athletic than others? Yeah. Are some people born with more musical talent than others? Sure. But that doesn't mean that people can't learn to, you know, do well in sports, do well in music, do well in whatever. Same thing with organization, learnable skill, productivity, learnable skill. These aren't things that are reserved for the, you know, the best and the brightest may only be organized and productive. No. Anybody can be. And that's what you do, Emily. That's what I do, right? We teach these things so that people can have these skills. They're learnable, just like you would learn anything else. You want to learn how to paint? You go take painting lessons, right? You learn how to paint. You want to learn how to be organized? you go see Emily. You want to learn how to be more productive? You come see me, right? So these are learnable skills. So definitely get that in your brain as a mindset thing. That's really important. Learnable skill. It's not like you were born that way or not. Mm-hmm. So that's really important, I think, for us to carry forward into life with us.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So, Alicia, why do you think ADHD is on the rise with adult women? Now that we have an understanding of what it is and what it isn't, and you and I are both seeing these trends, so why do you think this is coming out more so now?
Yeah, no, it's so interesting to think about. So back in the beginning of our conversation here, we were talking about how it's being talked about more, right? So when we're looking at, well, is it truly on the rise, or does it just appear to be on the rise, or is there kind of both going on, right? Well, so anytime that a stigma is starting to be lifted off of something and people are talking about it more, well, then naturally, people who weren't talking about it start talking about it more. So then all of a sudden, there are all these people talking about it. And then it appears, oh my goodness, everybody has ADHD now, right? Which isn't the case. Yes, are there more people being diagnosed? Sure, we're going to get into that in a second. But just first and foremost, just because the stigma is being lifted a bit and it's giving people the freedom to express this part of themselves, I think that gives the appearance, right, that there's a rise. But I want us to think about something here that's quite, I think, quite a bit interesting. Think about the generation of women right now who are being diagnosed with ADHD. Let's go back to childhood. Those women, when they were children, and keep in mind that a lot of times in girls and women, the type of ADHD, remember we talked about the three types, the type of ADHD that we see is the inattentive type. So now let's rewind to when these women were girls and they're in school and they're not the ones bouncing around the classroom getting noticed. They're the ones sitting in the back of the classroom daydreaming. And so the teacher missed them and they never got picked up for ADHD. They never got evaluated. They never got looked at. They were overlooked. And so now all these adult women today who once upon a time were girls during this time where the inattentive piece wasn't paid attention to in the same way, now there's more awareness and we're looking for it and that sort of thing. But back, you know, however many years ago when you, listener, were, you know, a child and you're daydreaming, right? You're not paying attention. You're getting distracted, but you weren't out of your seat. You weren't a quote unquote behavior problem for your teacher, like maybe the child who was hyperactive. And so you got missed. Well, now all those girls are women. And now they're like, oh, hey, I think there's something here. And now they're getting diagnosed. Now they're finally getting picked up. And getting, you know, picked up in terms of actually being given the spotlight of like, oh, hey, yeah, actually, this is happening for you. And so that also gives this appearance, this illusion sort of that there's a rise. But is there a rise? No, it's not like suddenly all these people have ADHD. It was there. It just was not seen until now in adulthood. And now there's more awareness. Now there's more conversation. Now the inattentive type is being looked at more. But then there is a third thing that I want to mention, and you kind of mentioned this already, but there is a third thing that I think is kind of playing into maybe there is actually this legitimate rise, and that is our modern demanding society with all the, you know, many, many things and many, many demands, right? So in a less demanding society, someone's ADHD symptoms might not present themselves because they're not really taken to task. Like the demands are not placed on the brain. But in our modern demanding society with many responsibilities, many things we're juggling, well, then all of a sudden, these individuals with ADHD who maybe it wouldn't have shown up too much otherwise, well, now there's too much pressure on the system of the brain, you know, and too much to handle. And so suddenly, and like ADHD is coming out, right? And so because of technology and, you know, smartphones and this and that and this and that, so much. Well, then the brain with ADHD is suddenly just like overloaded, and then these symptoms start popping out. So then there are maybe more diagnoses getting picked up because of this. And there's lots of research, of course, being done on all of this, you know, currently. But those are just some of my thoughts of how, yeah, there's maybe this appearance that it's on the rise, but then also there is this way that perhaps it is becoming a bit more prevalent. But just to be clear, technology doesn't cause ADHD, right? But technology use can cause in any of us, even those of us without ADHD, it can cause these, I'll call them symptoms, but not really these results that are ADHD-esque or in appearance, like they're not actually ADHD, but anyone who's like super on technology and those dopamine hits and, you know, all of that, well, that does something to you, right? And that is training you for looking for novelty and looking for rewards and looking for these neurochemical hits all the time, right? That does something to us. That does something to our brain. And is it ADHD? No, but is it kind of like looking kind of similar sometimes? Sure.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful too, because it's like, yes, modern demanding society, but still a brain that has ADHD is still different than someone who does not have ADHD. And they are different, even though there can be this, like, well, sure, you know, this person loses her keys. But as we've talked about, that doesn't necessarily mean that whomever she is has ADHD.
Yeah. And I feel like even as like a neurotypical mom,
yeah,
any neurotypical moms out there, we already feel taxed and stretched thin as far as like our capacity to be able to manage the demands that are put on our energy, whether that be physical energy or our brain energy. And, you know, I talk a lot about decision fatigue, like all plays in even for the neurotypical mom, because of, like you said, the demands that are put on us as moms and women in general. So yeah, that is all really interesting. I feel like there's also kind of similarities, you know, with autism, what you hear about autism with children, that is just sort of like, okay, well, is there a rise, or how much of it is that is just being diagnosed, you know, more. But I would love to know, like, if we have the listener here and she's like, well, I know I'm overwhelmed. I know I have problems focusing. I'm not sure if I'm ADHD. I might, you know, but I definitely need help with these focused activities, whether that be decluttering or being able to plan,
yeah,
things that I know that are going to help me in my motherhood. What sort of tips would you have for her so she can kind of move forward in being more productive in her life, even if she may have some of these limitations, whether they be from ADHD or just like we talked about, the demands on all of us, even if we're neurotypical?
Yeah, because these tips that I'm about to share, they will help anybody, right? They will help anyone who's having problems feeling scattered and wanting to be focused. And they will also help people who have ADHD. Now, of course, in the realm of ADHD, I'm going to say it one more time just to be a broken record. Check with your doctor or trusted healthcare professional first, because there are things that you guys can put into a treatment plan, medication, therapy, you know, whatever. So make sure you do your due diligence there. But now let's just talk about my wheelhouse of strategies and that sort of thing that we can take a look at for helping this sort of scenario. So I've got three essential tips for you and then three practical tips for you.
Hey.
And I do want to say first that these strategies, any strategy, of course, is going to work best when it's individualized and personalized to you. And I mean, that's the case with anything, right? Like anytime we're doing anything, if we're getting that one-on-one support and that very tailored just for you kind of support, that's going to be best. And in the same way, I'm sure, actually, I don't know your whole line of services, but I imagine you offer one-on-one.
Yeah.
services, right? So same thing, I offer one-on-one coaching. So if you're really looking, it's called my Fast Track Coaching Program. So if you're really looking for those one-on-one service, not services, those one-on-one strategies tailored just for you, then you can, of course, work with someone. But I'm going to give you strategies that are going to help just kind of on a broad. But I just wanted to say that first, like, there's only so much that you're going to be able to take away from a podcast conversation that you, you know, dear listener, you're listening to this, but you're not in the conversation. So how much more would you be able to get from working one-on-one, right? But let's start with the three essential tips first. So in order for the three practical tips that I'm going to give you to work, you got to do these three essential tips first. And the first one is know yourself. So I feel like you were just mentioning autism. And I feel like I've heard this thing before where it says, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. In other words, that everyone who has autism is different and it's their spectrum, right? So same thing, I feel like for ADHD, if you've met one person with ADHD, you've met one person with ADHD. It's not something that just across the board, this is how everybody is. There's definitely this continuum. In that, you got to do your part to know yourself and know your own needs and what's going to work for you and not work for you. And you've got to do trial and error there. The next part, which I talked about earlier, is the mental health piece. You got to make sure that you're addressing the mental health piece. If you're not addressing the mental health piece, all this other stuff is going to just be like slogging through mud. It's going to be so hard if that mental health piece isn't also being cared for. So know yourself, make sure you address your mental health. And then also don't get sucked into using ADHD as an excuse. Now, I feel like you're going to like, don't come for me. Don't be like, well, Alicia, you don't know because you don't have ADHD. Yeah, but I'm a human and I've got other things that like I can use as excuses, right? And the reason I say don't get sucked in is because there's all this conversation around ADHD. There are people out there who are showing you how to live with ADHD and do it well. And they are showing you, hey, I've got this. And guess what? Here's what I'm doing. Here's how I'm thriving. And then you can also find people out there who are like, hey, I have ADHD. And essentially they're kind of being the person that maybe you don't want as a role model in your ADHD journey, right? So don't get sucked into those, because those people, they can really suck you in, right? Because they're like catastrophizing things or they're, I don't know, right? And I'm not saying that we're like, everything is sunshine and rainbows, right? And no, no, no. Like even the people who are good, positive role models, they're going to tell you about the struggles and they're going to have hard days. And that's all normal, that we're human, that that's normal part of human existence, right? But you know what I'm talking about. There are the people in anything, right, that are showing you like, hey, here's the struggle and here's what I'm doing about it. And I'm being empowered. And yes, there's still a struggle, but here we go. And then there are the people who are just kind of wallowing in the struggle and being like, oh, look at me. I've got the struggle and woe is me kind of thing, right? So just be aware of that. Don't get sucked into the people who are kind of sucking you to a place that's not going to be so good and positive and supportive for you in your own journey. So those are my three essential tips. Know yourself, address your mental health, and don't get sucked in to thinking that, oh, I've got ADHD. I can't do anything about this. It's an excuse. I don't have to. No, you still can. Mm-hmm. You still can. And you can choose to. And I think that's really important to empower yourself in that. So now my three practical tips. So first one is goes along with the knowing yourself. And that's, you know yourself and then use your tools. Yeah. Do you need, and so this is like the knowing yourself part, right? Do you need quiet or noise? Do you need movement, standing, fidgeting, breaks, time limits, visual timer, reminders, you know, whatever it is, know yourself, know what you need. And then here are just a list of tools that you might find helpful. Noise canceling headphones, fidgets. Actually, as we are, and I don't have ADHD, but as Emily and I are talking, I've been sitting here playing, you can't see it, but I'm going to tell you about it. I'm playing with a finger spring. Mm-hmm. I love playing with a finger spring. It just gives my hands something to do when I am working at my computer, when I'm talking. It's this little thing. I don't know. It's like, how big is it? It's like an inch long. or so, an inch and a half long, and it's kind of stretchy and boingy. It looks like a string. It's made out, or it looks like a spring. It's made out of plastic, and I like to just wind it around my finger and unwind it, and it just gives me something to do. And I don't even have ADHD, right? So people with ADHD might find fidgets. There are so many fidgets in the world. Google fidgets. You might find something that really kind of is a good fit for you. Timers, right? Using timers, just regular old timers, using a visual timer. Again, you can't see this, but I'm going to show Emily. I have one of these visual, it's made by Time Timer. I'm not sponsored by them. I wish I was, but it's one of these things where you can put it out and it shows you visually how much time is left. It's just another tool, right? Like, you might be a visual person and a visual timer might be a really good thing for you. So Google it, use visual timers, use regular timers, whatever. Timers might be your thing. Foot fidgets. Have you heard of foot fidgets? You can get like bands that go across your chair if you've got a chair with legs. I also actually, under my desk, I have a spiky ball that sometimes I just like rub my feet on and like play with under the desk. Again, I don't have ADHD. This might be good for you. This might not. Or you can get, again, like things to do with your feet. You can get a desk bike, a desk elliptical, so that your feet are like going and going under the desk while you're doing whatever. You could also get a treadmill desk. You could do a standing desk and have a foot rest where you put a foot up and then you put another foot up just to give your feet a rest from standing so much. You can use all sorts of reminders and alarms on your phone, right? There are so many tools. And again, there are way more tools than we can get in here today, but those are just a few thoughts in terms of tools. Next practical tip, be the boss of distracting thoughts. So I know the inattentive type, right? We're talking to women. Inattentive type is big for women. So be the boss of the distracting thoughts. So what do I mean? So if you're sitting down to do some work, or if you're sitting down to do some decluttering or whatever it is for you, and you're like, oh man, that's so hard, because as soon as I start, then I just get pulled into this or pulled into that, or I start thinking about this or thinking about that. Well, know that and come prepared, right? So bring with you a pad of paper and a pen, real old school, real easy. Don't use your phone, because probably you turn on that phone and then who knows what sort of rabbit trail you're going to be going down, right? Just get a pad of paper and pen. You're going to declutter, get your pad of paper and pen. You're going to sit down and do work at your desk, get your pad of paper and pen. Anything that pops in your head, you're like, oh, I'd like to go do blah. Don't go do blah. Write it down. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I forget to do blah? Don't go check and investigate unless it's an emergency. Write it down, right? Get in the habit. And these are habits. These are skills, right, that we're building. You catch the thought, you put it down. You catch the thought, you put it down. Then it keeps you in the task so that you can declutter that thing, so that you can finish writing your plan for the day or the week or whatever. Sure, like there's stuff on the phone, but for you out there, if you are listening and you have ADHD or you think you have ADHD, just use a pen and paper. And then what do you do with that whole list? That's a different conversation that I can get into, right? But at least get into the habit. If we're talking about, okay, tips for being productive and doing decluttering and organizing with a brain that has ADHD, it's going to be really important to train yourself, train your brain to be like, oh, I'm going to put that thought on pause, put it on my pad of paper and come back to it. Okay. So work on that. And that will be tremendously, tremendously helpful so that you don't get up and go do that thing, or you don't ping pong around the house, that you're keeping yourself in the task that you are currently in. And then the last thing, my last practical tip for you is to break your projects into baby steps, or even to break the baby steps into mini micro baby steps, right? If the step isn't small enough, then make it smaller. Make it so small that you can do it in 1 minute, 5 minutes. You can do it without it being this huge, overwhelming, taxing thing, especially for having ADHD. And it just might be more challenging for you to even do the thing. Well, make the thing so simple that you can't not do it, right? So if you've got a pile of papers to declutter, make your micro baby step that you're going to declutter one piece of paper from that pile of papers, or you are going to set a timer for 1 minute, right? You can do 1 minute. You can tackle that tackle that pile of papers for 1 minute and then move on. And then you know what? You had a success and do it again tomorrow or do it again later that day. But breaking things into these baby steps or these micro baby steps, they give us wins, which builds momentum to do it again and do it more. It makes it approachable. It makes it less overwhelming. It's just, it's a good way to go. So that's my third practical step or practical tip for everybody here today.
This is great. Yeah. I was thinking of two things. Number one, I do workouts more when it's cold outside, but I do YouTube workouts and I'll hopefully be bicep curling. And I'm like, ugh, you know, like I remember something and I'm going to start putting a pad of paper.
Yes.
Because even for me, like sometimes I feel like, oh, I don't want to lose this thought. And I'll like pop the workout and go do it. And so I love that. And then also I read Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg. And same thing, he says, like, make it so small you can't say no.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get in the habit of flossing his teeth and he started with one tooth, which seems like to most people, like, well, what, that just seems crazy. Why would you just do one tooth? But the point is just getting in that initial habit of the one, you have to win, you celebrate the win, and then keep going. So I think these are just fantastic tips. I appreciate you and the depth in which you've gone into this topic. I have learned so much. And
awesome.
That our listeners have too. And if they want to look more into it, obviously talking to their medical provider, but I feel like this is a good foundational, you know, introduction for me.
Oh, fantastic.
Things. So I really appreciate you coming. And I was just curious if you had any parting thoughts. And then I want to make sure to let everyone know how they can connect with you.
Ooh, parting thoughts. I don't know if I have any parting thoughts. One thought I did have as you were talking is you were talking about the pad of paper for when you're working out. They also make something called Aqua Notes, which is a pad of paper for your shower. Do you have it?
I've heard of it. I had
it. I have it. I love it because inevitably I think of things in the shower and then by the time I get out of the shower, I have forgotten. Well, not anymore because I've been using Aqua Notes now for quite a long time. So Aqua Notes, you can just get it on Amazon. Yeah. And it's, I don't know how much, I'm sure the price changes all the time based on like, you know, how prices on Amazon just seem to like go up and down. Anyway, whatever. So Aqua Notes. Yeah. As you were talking about the pad of paper for working out, I was like, oh yeah. And also the pad of paper for the shower. Yeah. I don't know. Parting thoughts. I hope that people have gotten, you know, and even if you don't have ADHD, I hope you've gotten something good out of this conversation. If you do have ADHD, I hope you feel supported and uplifted and encouraged and that you have some new kind of thoughts to chew on in this whole ADHD journey that you're going through. I hope this has been supportive to you. That would warm my heart if that, like, that's what I'm wanting to do is to, in this conversation, to give good tips and information and such, but also to really be a support to people who are dealing with ADHD.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And please let everyone know how best they can connect with you, Alicia.
Sure. So the best place to connect with me is my website, which is aliciacohendesigns.com. So there you can find everything. You can find my free resources. You can find my products for purchase, my social media links, and, you know, all that good stuff. But then another good way to get connected with me and learn more from me, if you're wanting to, you know, keep the learning goodness going, is I have a free guide for you today. It's called The Top 3 To-Do List Hacks to Get Immediate Results. And it covers 3 powerful hacks that you can implement today to start winning with your to-do list. So if that interests you and sounds good to you, then just go to the link that's going to be in the show notes and grab it for yourself and you'll be all set. And I would love to have you join me, you know, in my neck of the online woods and that we can, you know, continue this conversation and I can continue supporting you and all that good stuff. So please, I'd be so thrilled if you would pop on over to my neck of the woods, like I said.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Alicia. It was really a pleasure talking to you. And again, thank you just for supporting and blessing these moms. It just really means the world to me.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been so fun. And I'm so grateful that I got to chat with you today.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact, but 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. An Apple Podcast, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.